Let's have a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you and we're grateful again this morning for the privilege of coming into your presence. Thank you for your word and the encouragement that it is. And we thank you for your son Jesus. And it's our desire this morning to be more like him. Pray that you teach us now and that you'd come and be our teacher right now in this meeting. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
We've been talking about how to get to know and how to become like Jesus. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's major tool in making us more like Jesus. Tommy was talking about it a while ago, and that's what I'd like to talk to you about just a little bit in this meeting, is the importance of the Bible. The importance of you getting into it. Gazing on Jesus, finding out more about him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we do that through the Bible. I have four little points this morning. One is how society affects us. Two is how the Bible affects us. Three is our responsibility in light of how the Bible affects us. And four is how we can affect society if we allow the Bible to affect us. Dwight L. Moody said, the Bible is not given to increase our knowledge, make our head fatter, but to change our life. That's God's whole purpose in giving us His Word. Because He wants to change our life. And that's His purpose in giving us the Word. And we choose. We make the choice of what affects us. Now, there's influences everywhere, and it's fun to watch people. You know, I turn on the Christian radio up there in Vancouver. And especially in the afternoon, they have this, you know, modern Christian music. And it's fun to see. Because Christian music hasn't influenced the world. It's the other way around. The world's music has influenced Christian music. Well, somebody made a choice, you know. They've shifted that. Instead of it going this direction of us influencing them, we've allowed them to influence us. And this comes out all the way down the line. We live in an age where they say, nothing's really for sure. There are no absolutes. And it's funny, I turned my TV on at night and there's this program called All in the Family. There's a guy on there named Archie Bunker. And the guy has convictions. He really does. You must admit, Archie Bunker has convictions. See, but everybody laughs at him, right? That's the whole fun in the show. Because he has convictions, and everybody laughs and says, what a meathead. You can't have convictions nowadays. Not like that. Now, they may be wrong, but, you know. And that affects us as Christians. It affects us when we go out and do evangelism. We won't really come out and say, well, I believe that the Bible says, right? You don't do that. Because our whole society is sort of, you know, it's wishy-washy and relative. And I really got convicted on this fall. A Christian girl brought her boyfriend over to my house for supper. I'd invited him, and he was not a Christian. And we had him out on the back porch, and we went at him for about an hour on the gospel, you know, just trying to explain it to him and clarify it to him. And we got right down to the point where I'd ask him if he'd make the decision, and he said no. And so I thought, well, that's probably, you know, I don't want to dump it too hard on the guy. And, you know, he'll probably make a decision. And his girlfriend turned around and really laid it on him. She says, don't you know that the Bible says you'll go to hell? And I about dropped off my chair, you know. I mean, the guy's a great big football player, you know, about 6'2", and she's about 5'2", you know. And she was really laying it on him, you know. Good night, she can't do that. But you know what? He made a decision a couple days later. Not with me, he made it with her. Boy, she had, you know. Well, she had some convictions, see? It wasn't relative with her, man. It was, this is it. And the Bible says, and if you don't do it, sorry for you, buddy. And it was her boyfriend, you know. See, and we don't preach assurance. I've never seen a time when Christians are more unsure of their salvation. Well, why is that? Well, we've been influenced. See, I'm a couple years older than you. I don't like to admit that, but when I grew up back there in the late 50s, the early 60s, there were some things, especially in that little town, you know. There were some very black and white things. This is what you did and this is what you didn't do. And, you know, it was very clear. There was some definition. But now there's no definition. It's all foggy and, you know, even in the educational system, every class is an experimental class. Somebody trying a new idea because nobody knows for sure what's going on. It's so. Well, see, we need to get out there and preach with conviction. But what we're doing, see, we're letting society influence us. So you got to make a choice. See, the world now, everything is free love and sex, and there's a lot of talk, and it's all open, eh? Well, what happens? Do we influence the world, or do they influence us? See, I'm afraid it's the other way. They're influencing us. See, they emphasize material security, right? So what happens to us? We think, eek, there's a depression coming. We got to prepare, right? So we think, ooh, savings account, and, you know, I'll put my money in antiques or gold or, you know, I heard of a Christian businessman recently, went out and bought some gold, you know, socked it away in the bank. Well, see, it ought to be a time when money is flowing now, eh? It ought to be a time when we don't drop our giving, we raise it. And yet we're influenced by the world. And we've made a choice, you know. The bank account gets a little fatter. You know, we buy more expensive cameras. I thought about this. I really, you know, I thought, well, I better not mention that because I just went out and bought a camera. But it's true, you know. We stock up on all the goodies. We cut back on our giving and try to prepare because we've allowed the world to influence us. See, and there's a lot less emphasis now on, you know, on spiritual things. Therefore, when we go out in evangelism, we have to work all so much harder just doing pre-evangelism. You know, when I went to school back at Iowa State, you could say, what church you grew up in? And the guy knew. You know, what's your religious affiliation? Well, they knew what it was back then. We were taking surveys on campus this fall at UBC, and we say, what's your religious affiliation? The guy said, huh? What do you mean? You know, he didn't even know what you mean. So we've been influenced. Well, that's a choice. Society can have an effect on you. But we as Christians have the Word of God, eh? The Bible can and does have an effect on your life. And you don't have to try to make it have an effect on your life. It just does. As you get into it,
and begin to read it. See, there's some words. Jeremiah 23:28-29, it talks about the word. God says, is not my word like a hammer and like a fire? See, it's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Have you ever been out witnessing and you're giving the gospel to a guy and he just, you know, it's like a little hammer beating on a big rock. The guy's really, you know, you think, well, I better forget about him. Move on to somebody that's easier. But God says, my word is like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. And they remember when you give them the word. And God promises, and my word will not return to me void. It does have an effect. It's like a fire. It's going to burn. You know, the hardest steel is going to melt if you keep the flame on it long enough. I remember in 1964 when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, I witnessed to a guy. I worked for the city park department. There was this other kid, and we used to preach at him. And every day, preach at this kid. And I was in 64, and I was only there for a few weeks. It was a real short deal. And I left, and man, I wasn't in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'd never come back through there again until 69. I came back, and I was going to school at the University of Nebraska. And one day, I was driving across campus, you know, in the car, and I looked over and I thought, good night, there's that kid I used to work with. And right away his name came to mind. So I stopped and I yelled and I says, hey, is your name Dave Mark? And he looked over and he says, you're that religious guy! 5 years later, you know, he remembered. Well, man, that wasn't because of me, it's because the Bible had an effect on his life. So I stopped and I talked to him. And boy, he was a lot warmer. He hadn't become a Christian yet, but he was really warmed up to the Bible. Because I think God had been using that in his life. And I hadn't even seen him. 1 Peter 1:23 says the word is like an incorruptible seed. You plant it, and it's going to produce. Hebrews 4:12. Because the word is like a sword, piercing. James 1:22-23. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then it goes on, it talks about, you know, when you get into the word, it's like coming to a mirror. See, as you read the word, it affects you. Points out that old sin in your life, eh? Some people have trouble reading through the Word because, boy, you get convicted. It points out what you're like, what you really like down inside. And it has an influence on you. The Word can give you faith. Can give you hope. Can give you joy. Jesus says, these words I spoke to you that my joy might be in you. It gives you peace. Helps you to know the truth. John 17 says, thy word is truth. It keeps you from sin. 2 Peter 1:4. You know, God says, I gave you these promises so that you can escape from the corruption that's in the world. You could escape from the world's influence on you. Because of God's promises. Psalm 119:9-11. You all know that one. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By getting into the Word. Obeying it. See, it does have an effect on you. It does change your whole life. See, it changes your value system. Teen Challenge, I heard. I was talking to a Teen Challenge guy, or I heard this. The first thing they do with a drug addict off the street, when they get him into the Teen Challenge Center, they just keep him right in there.
and they get him reading the Bible. And anyway, they get the Bible, you know, they preach it at him and they get him reading it and anything they can do. They just get the Bible into the guy. Because the Bible, they know and they've discovered that the Bible has an influence. It helps people learn how to think right. It's powerful, see, it's the Word of God. And it changes your whole value system when you become a Christian. Some of you have experienced this, and some of you are going to experience it, that the more you get into the Bible, the more you realize that the things that were important to you before are not important anymore. You think, well, I don't care about that, really. You know, my wife and I were walking through the store the other day, and we thought, man, look at all this junk, this Christmas junk. You know, it didn't even appeal to us. Well, your value system changes. You realize that, hey, there's something of eternal value. It's much more important than all this. And I can't explain that except for the fact to say that somehow, when you get into the Word, it changes what's important. Okay, so how do we respond to the Word? Well, two things. You get into it. Just get into the Bible. Two things. Get into it, or get it in and give it out. Not only the content, like I said before, not the, you know, the facts, the intellectual part of it, but the important thing is your response to it. Getting it in so that you can respond. Not being only hearers, but doers. And we need to continue to grow. Hebrews chapter 5, down at the end, it says, about this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's Word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by experience to distinguish good from evil. See, we need to get into the Word. Not only just sit down and read it once in a while. See, a lot of you know the little navigator hand illustration, eh? The five little methods of getting the Word into your life. Hearing it, reading it, studying, memorizing, meditating. The problem is you only remember 5% of what you hear. That's why we make messages so long, so you'll get more. See, but why are so many of us who've been Christians for so long still so immature? Why don't we get into the Word? You ever thought about that? Why are you not getting into the Bible? Why is it so hard to get up early in the morning? I was really convicted by Tommy, you know. He says, I was laying there before the alarm clock went off thinking, you know, that before the alarm, man, I barely heard the alarm clock. And almost went back to sleep after it rang. Okay, well, why don't you get into the Bible? We'd sit here and talk about it. Three reasons. Number one, we don't give it any priority. It's the last thing we do. Performing for people is more important than learning from God. See, we put activities first. During your weekly schedule, you know, what's more important? Well, let's see, quiet time. Well, let's see, I got to go to breakfast. More important than quiet time. Then you get back from breakfast and you got 15 minutes and you say, well, let's see, I better put some foo-foo on. That's more important than getting in the Bible. And then class comes and you know it's a rinky-dink class. So you say, well, let's see, I'll skip class because I'm kind of tired from last night staying up till 2. Talking to that guy. I don't remember what we talked about, but 2 o'clock. And so I'll sleep in and go to my next class. That's more important than getting in the Bible. So we race through the day. You know, and everything is priority over getting into the Bible. And then the evening meal comes and you think, oh, I'm tired. I think I'll go, I need to relax tonight, and so I'll go watch TV. See, try that sometime. Just keep a little 3x5 card on how you use your time for a whole week. Make out a little card for every day, you know, and write down what you do for every 15 minutes. Yeah, it's not that hard of work. I do that a couple of times. It usually really helps me out. And then I add it all up at the end of the week, you know. 27 hours eating. You know, and you look how ridiculous it is, you know. And out of 168 hours in a week, you spend an hour and a half in the Bible. And it shows you pretty quick what your priorities are. Okay, number one, no priority. Two is we don't even have a plan. We have no plan to get into the Bible. We have a plan to study all that other stuff. You know, we go to a school, and what's ridiculous about it, we pay them to have a class for us. Say, now I want to learn this biology stuff, and I'm going to pay you to teach me. Right? We move out of our homes, we cut off family relationships and everything so we can go over here and live in this brick building, you know, and we pay them to feed us, and we pay them to have classes for us. And when it comes down to the Bible, you know, we think, well, let's see, that's the thing that's really important. We're not willing to do that. So we don't put it in our schedule anywhere. We think, well, maybe it'll just happen. And 10 years passes and you realize, man, it didn't happen. I wonder what's wrong. R.A. Jaffrey was a Canadian missionary from Toronto. His father was a big newspaper man. And he had a little rule. No Bible, no breakfast. And he disciplined himself and he just made that decision. No Bible, no breakfast. He had a priority and he had a little plan. See, and I challenge you. How many of you are willing to skip your lunch today to get into the Bible? And I challenge you, when you go back to the campuses, get a plan. I don't care how you do it. If you're unfaithful and lazy, find somebody else who wants to study the Bible and say, okay, now we'll set this as a time. Every Wednesday afternoon, you and I go to the library together for 2 hours to do Bible study. We drag each other over there. You know, cancel everything else and go and do it. And it's not hard. You just make a decision. Just like, you know, when your biology class comes up at 1:20 on Thursday, you go. And if you don't show up, everybody in the class the next Thursday say, where were you? And we need the same kind of a thing on this. Get a little schedule and get a plan to do a Bible study. And get somebody else in a little group to check up on you to see if you're done or not. And to see if you did your application or not. And to see if you memorized your verses or not. Okay? And the third thing why we don't get into the Bible is just we don't put any effort into it. No effort. You spell that L-A-Z-Y. Z-Y. So get in the Bible. That is your responsibility. And if you do, then you got all the problems. God will change your life. But you have one little doubt. Just get into it. Very simple. Make a decision to get in the Bible. Okay, give it out. That's very simple. I don't have to talk much about that. Learn how to share your quiet times. If you're a squad leader or team leader on the campus, create a little atmosphere where people can share from their quiet time. Just have a little meeting, get together after supper on Wednesday night. Say, we're going to share from our quiet times this week. It's the only purpose of the meeting. Just share it. In fact, make a little point of quiet time in the morning. Pick a little verse that you can share. Amen. I'm going to share this verse with somebody today. Okay, the other thing would be sharing with non-Christians. You can do that. You could even share a verse out of your quiet time with a non-Christian. He'd probably blow his mind and he'd start asking you about what in the world are you sharing with me? What are you telling me that stuff for? You could give him the gospel. Share your testimony. A little Bible verse. Because your intake of the Bible usually matches up with your output. If nothing goes out, not very much goes in. Or if there's a lot going in and nothing going out, pretty soon it's full. It's like a rain barrel, you know. It usually gets stagnant water and it starts to smell. It gets pretty messy if there's nothing going out, you know, no sharing it. Okay, what effect would we have on society if we did that? If we got into the Word and decided that we were going to obey it? Gang, people are looking for what we have. They really are. We have the most fantastic message in the whole world. And we're sitting on it. And hiding it in a corner. In Philippians 2:14, it says we're like lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, we shine as lights in the world. And that's what you're like as a Christian. You're like a little light walking around. And then the question comes. It says, does one who have a light put it under a bushel? No, that little song, you know, put it under a bushel. No! And they let it shine. It gives light. And people are looking for that. They really are, right? Chuck was sharing me, we were walking down the beach the other day, and he says, we are the salt of the earth. And we think, man, there's so many people out there. How are we going to have an influence?
Well, you know, it doesn't take very much salt on a big piece of meat to really flavor it. Okay? It doesn't take very much. And that's what we're like. And we can have a giant influence on our whole society by being bright lights. And it all comes from getting back to the Bible and saying, God, this is what it says. I'm going to obey it because it's your word. So it's getting into the Bible. It's beholding the glory of the Lord and being changed into His likeness. 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the old original Living Letters, Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 2:14, they changed it for some reason. Maybe it was a bad translation, but I liked it. It says, "But thanks be to Christ who always causes us to triumph." It says He triumphs over all our stumbling efforts and uncertainties. And wherever we go, He uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. Now we get in there and we think, oh man, I really messed that one up, you know. But, you know, God somehow puts a little invisible shield around us and He doesn't let the mistakes come through. He triumphs over all our stumbling around and being unsure and making a mess out of things. He triumphs over that. And He uses us to affect people for Christ. And we need to begin to believe that God can use us to change our society as we get into the Bible. It all begins with God changing us. And that's my question to you this morning. Is, are you willing to let God change you? Are you willing to determine to get into God's Word and make it your priority? Getting a plan, exercising the effort that it takes to do that Bible study? Or are you going to stand back and say, well, boy, I'm not so sure. That sounds good and I want to do it, but I just don't know. See, all the power and all the resource of God in heaven is there and it's available. The only one who can get in the way is you. So I challenge you to get into the Bible. I'm going to finish a few minutes early. It's about 10 after 12 and lunch is not until 12:30. It's just like 15 minutes in the morning, eh? What are you going to do with 15 minutes? You know, you could probably read 2 chapters in 15 minutes. Unless you're a slow reader like me. But that's my challenge to you this afternoon. Get out, get into the Bible, and get to know Jesus. See, and it's your choice. Society can affect you if you let it. See, in fact, even Christians here can affect you if you let them. Right? You got 15 minutes, you say, boy, that's right, I'm going to go read 2 verses. So, say, meeting's dismissed, and you know what happens? Some guy says, hey man, come on over, I got to show you my new car over here. Shiny hubcaps. You say, good deal, man, let's go. And that's where those little decisions come in, eh? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer, and you can go do it. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power that's there. And a little verse I think of in Corinthians is, you know, that your word is the power of God unto salvation. We ask that you would change our lives, that you would make us more like Jesus, and that you would give us the discipline and help us. Help us to do what you want us to do, like you promised there in Philippians 2. We want to become men and women who are not babes living on the milk of the word, but we want to go deeper than that. And we ask you to take our lives and make us more like Jesus today. Thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.